Welcome to the Happy, Healthy, Strong podcast. Our goal is to equip you with the knowledge and tools you need to make lasting changes in your health. Society has trained us to think that Western medicine is the answer to long-term health, but this approach only treats symptoms and never addresses the root cause. Without a new approach, our community will experience unnecessary sickness and suffering. We teach the functional health model to educate and empower listeners on their journey to a happier, healthier, and stronger life. My name is Paige, and I'm a certified holistic health coach. I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Alex Arguello, Doctor of Chiropractic and Functional Health Practitioner. Join us as we unpack some of the most pressing health challenges facing our community today. Welcome back to the Happy, Healthy, Strong podcast. We are continuing to go through the foods in the Restoring Human Diet. And so today we are going to be talking about eggs, which I feel like there's actually a lot to talk about with one small little thing. So I'm excited to hear what you have to say. Let's do the Saturday morning workout recap first.
Yeah, so we didn't do much today. It seemed like for the first 55 minutes. Mm-hmm. Myself and two other men at the gym are doing an online competition that was going all week. So we had five workouts to do and we're kind of wore out from all of those.
Sure. So yeah. Basically they record themselves, like they take a video of themselves doing these heavy lifts and then you submit it to an online thing.
Right? Yeah. Yep. So today was the lifting part. So the lifts were one rep max bench press, a two rep max overhead squat, and a three rep max clean, power clean or squat clean. That's where you bring the barbell from the ground to your shoulders. So yeah, we did all the rest of the workouts for this week, and then we just had to finish with the lift.
Yeah.
So that's all we did for the first 55 minutes, and then I was ready to come in here and start talking, and Jarek said, Let's breathe heavy.
Yep, breathe heavy right before we need to record a podcast.
So the three of us split 100 cows on the ski erg. So if you're familiar with cross-country skiing, it's similar to that. But you just go a lot harder.
Yeah.
When we're just splitting 100 calories.
It's kind of like a rower, but for your arms. Yeah. Essentially, I feel like.
Yep. You kind of jump and bend at the waist and pull down with your arms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we got to 100 calories in under 5 minutes. So
and how was your competition last week?
Oh, yeah. It was good. It wasn't, we probably did the best that we could. We were up against some pretty good teams. It was one of the weirdest competitions I've been a part of. It was, so typically there's same-sex teams. So it's two guys, two girls, and they have their own divisions. Or sometimes it's a guy and a girl, and that's its own division. But this time, everybody was together. Mm. So we were competing against two girl teams, and there was a couple teams that were a guy and a girl. So that's fine, but the problem is when it comes to the workouts, you have to convert things. So they weren't going to use as heavy of a deadlift weight as we were. They weren't going to use as heavy as a wall ball. We had to do cows on a bike, so they had to do less cows. So I would say some of the conversions were off. But the one team had these two women on it that were just, they demolished everybody.
They probably could have done the men's workouts.
No doubt. No doubt. So just real quick, one workout was we had to do as men, we had to do 150 wall balls. So that's grabbing a 30-pound ball, squatting below parallel, throwing it up 10 feet, catching it, squatting again, you're doing that 150 times. So while one partner was doing that, the other partner was on the bike, and we had to get to 120 calories. So you had 10 minutes to get to 120 calories, 150 wall balls, splitting, you know, the work, switching off. And then once you finish that, whatever time you had left before the 10-minute mark, you did handstand push-ups.
Oh, my.
So there's 14 teams. Only six of the teams got to the handstand push-up, so they didn't even finish that first part. We finished with like 10 seconds left, so we got one handstand push-up. The girls that won it got 90 handstand push-ups.
What? That's so
they finished the work in like 6 minutes and then did the, where everybody else, most of them didn't even finish. We finished in about 10 minutes.
Wow.
And then, yeah, they got 90 handstand push-ups.
So they won.
Yeah, they won every workout.
Wow, that's crazy.
Every workout. Well, but yeah, it was fun. It's good to do that type of stuff occasionally. And I was pretty sore Monday, which made me not be able to do the first workout of this online thing on Monday. So I did Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, which I don't typically do.
Yeah.
But
that's a lot.
Yeah.
Take a break tomorrow.
I ate a lot of eggs in between.
Hey, let's talk about that. Good recovery food.
Yeah. So yeah, eggs is, excuse me.
You good?
One of the top foods on the list for animal products. I mean, really, I always say liver is the healthiest food that there is in terms of nutrient density, but egg is pretty close to it. The problem
that's good to hear, because that's a lot less intimidating than the organ foods. Yeah.
The problem with it is, unfortunately, it has a protein in it that many people are now starting to develop sensitivities or allergies to. So even though it's one of the healthiest foods, I have to tell many of the people that I work with that they can't eat it anymore.
Yes, that was going to be, when you said eggs, that was going to be one of my top questions, was just, it is such a great food, but a lot of these specific restoring human diets that you're giving to people, I know eggs are not on it. And then as they're like, day-to-day kind of nutrition person, I'm like, darn it, because that's the easiest breakfast thing.
Yeah.
It's the easiest, like, grab and go, some hard-boiled eggs. And so it does make it really tricky when people have to cut out eggs and grains, you know, all the...
Right. You're hitting on some important stuff that we can start with. So just even outside of the nutrient density and all the things that we'll talk about, like, it is an easy thing to do. Right.
It's cheap, generally.
It can be very, I mean, compared to other foods.
Right.
Compared to grass-fed beef, it's going to be
exactly
way cheaper than that. But one of the biggest problems people have is, and I guess it's, I would think it's probably just an American thing. Carbohydrates mean breakfast, basically.
Yeah.
Everybody has just a bunch of carbs for breakfast.
Bread, cereal.
So even if it was just like a neutral food and it wasn't super nutritious for you, it would be good, because it at least would keep you away from eating a bunch of bread and donuts and you know, bagels and cereal and all the stuff that people tend to eat for breakfast. So yeah, easy to do, relatively cheap, and it helps you avoid a lot of foods that you shouldn't be eating, specifically in the morning, you know. But even as a snack, you know, when I'm coming up with these restoring human diets for people, typically telling them, don't snack. Let's just try to stick with three meals a day. But if you're going to, then I give them a list of foods that they can have. You know, it's like beef sticks or
hard-boiled eggs.
Hard-boiled eggs.
Yes.
Right? So you make them, you have them there, and then you can...
Yep, just grab it.
Yeah. And I can't eat hard-boiled eggs without sea salt. So
it's
also another great way to get sea salt in your diet. Yeah, so let's just start with... I think we should start with the bad stuff. So if you are anybody who's paid attention to nutrition prior to probably 5 years ago or so, you would have thought eggs aren't the greatest food in the world because they're super high in cholesterol.
Right.
So the typical recommendation from, you know, the authorities, the nutritional authorities, say that somebody who's at risk for cardiovascular disease should have less than 200 milligrams of cholesterol daily in their diet. And then if you're not at risk, you can go up to 300 milligrams per day. Well, an estimated American consumes about 278 milligrams of cholesterol daily. You can get most of that with just one egg. So you... If you think cholesterol puts you at risk for cardiovascular disease, then you're more than likely going to avoid eggs. But there's been a lot of research that has shown that is not true in any way. Here's just one of them, if my internet is working fine. So this was done at the Older Americans Independence Center, supported by the National Institute of Aging. They said when they surveyed people and looked at what they eat and compared that to their cholesterol levels. They found that typically either no association or in many situations an inverse association, such that people who are eating more eggs actually have lower cholesterol levels than people who are not eating eggs. So they've actually found the opposite. So not only would eating eggs not increase your cholesterol levels, they found that it actually lowered your cholesterol levels. And then in another part of the study, they said the national health and statistics collected here by our own federal government found no association between egg consumption and cardiovascular disease. A more recent study in China found egg consumption actually lowered the risk of heart attacks and stroke. So just some more recent stuff out on eggs, the whole connection between, well, we know we've done plenty of stuff on cholesterol and cardiovascular disease that you can go back and listen to. But even if there was a significant connection, eggs haven't shown to be the case there.
Yep.
So you don't have to worry about the whole cholesterol stuff. But then here is just a few things that research has shown. It's actually shown that it increases what people believe to be your good cholesterol, so your HDL cholesterol. So increase with that, if there is any increase with eggs, which is what most doctors will tell you they want. It maintains good vision and eye health, helps reduce the risk of type 2 diabetes. It boosts muscle development and strength, lowers the risk of migraines, which is an interesting one, reduces blood pressure, and then can keep your weight down, is what studies have shown about eggs. So we really don't even have to go through any of the specific nutrients and stuff.
Right, yeah, that's good enough.
Just listen to what that is there. But here's some of the bigger nutrients that are found in eggs. I'll just start with the ones that people probably know. Vitamin E, vitamin A, we talked about cholesterol, and omega-3 fatty acids. So omega-3 fatty acids, we've talked about omega-6s versus omega-3s. We want the proper ratio there. Eggs are higher in that omega-3, so they're going to have that proper balance of omega-6 to omega-3, or they can help you balance out if your diet is high on omega-6s. Eating more eggs will help to balance that out, similar to what if you were taking omega-3, like fish oil, something like that, a supplement. So those are the common ones. You know, vitamin E helps support your healthy immune system. Vitamin A, we talked about last week, with also immunity, your brain, vision. You mentioned the skin health. Those things are huge. Cholesterol, a lot of people don't know about cholesterol. Cholesterol is required to absorb nutrients, specifically fat-soluble vitamins. Also, it's kind of the backbone of all of your cells. So the cell membrane is made out of cholesterol. Your brain, 60% of it's made out of cholesterol. You just need sufficient levels of cholesterol, and again, you're going to get those by eating eggs. You would think with all the blood tests and stuff that I run that I would see the majority of the people that I would see would have higher levels of cholesterol, and that would be the concern, because that's what kind of what we're told in the mainstream media. Everybody's at risk for heart disease and we should avoid cholesterol. But most commonly I see people with insufficient levels of cholesterol. So there's something going on with either gallbladder, just their digestion in general, or maybe they have been avoiding a lot of these foods and they just don't have sufficient levels of cholesterol to be able to absorb fat-soluble vitamins. Mm-hmm. So again, that's just how the whole kind of medical model works. Just, hey, let's avoid this one thing that we think is dangerous and put ourselves at risk for all of these other things that potentially could happen. So you're not eating cholesterol because you think cholesterol is dangerous, but when you're not eating it, you're not able to absorb the fat-soluble vitamins that are just going to translate to other health issues down the road that you don't want to happen.
Yeah.
So a couple of these, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I can put a link in the show notes to the episode that we've done, like a deeper dive on cholesterol, if people want to go back to that. Yeah.
So selenium. Selenium is a mineral. Maybe you've heard of it before, but it has a bunch of different functions. But the biggest one is it works along with iodine, another mineral, to help you maintain proper thyroid function. And majority of the people that I'm working with are women, and there's not many women that I know of that don't have something going on with their thyroid.
Yeah.
So selenium and iodine are important nutrients to be getting in your diet, just for overall thyroid function. And again, eggs are a huge thing there. Choline, I think we talked about choline maybe in one of the other shows, mm-hmm. but choline is a precursor to something called acetylcholine, which is just a neurochemical that is important for our brain. We need acetylcholine in order for proper brain function. Kind of cell-to-cell messaging is also important. Is similar to cholesterol. It's also important for your cell structure. And choline eggs are one of the main things that we get choline from. It's actually difficult to get it in your diet without having eggs. So probably one of the biggest ways you get choline in your diet. Conjugated linoleic acid. I know I talked about that with the grass-fed beef because there's a lot more conjugated linoleic acid than there is in conventional raised animals. So this is required to absorb fat-soluble vitamins and also build your cell walls, but this is also the main nutrient that's studied when we talked about weight loss with eggs. So helps people keep weight down or even lose weight because if they're getting a lot of conjugated linoleic acid, it's just it's a fat-burning fatty acid. So important to have in your diet. And then the last one is I only know of really three things that you can get this in your diet. So eggs, high quality dairy products, specifically things like butter or like full fat raw milk, and then liver, you can get this in your diet. But vitamin K2, which is an extremely important. So we've done some talking about Ansel Keys. That is not the guy I want you to be following.
Yeah, the sugar guy, right?
Well, I can't think of the dentist name, the Weston. Oh, Weston A. Price.
Oh, yeah.
So Weston A. Price, he went around the world studying all these different civilizations, and he was trying to figure out why they were so healthy compared to the United States. Why was their teeth so great? Why do they seem to have strong bone structure, very low cardiovascular risk, no signs of cancer, all this stuff? And of course, he found that there was, vitamin D was important, vitamin A was important, but he called it Activator X, and it was actually vitamin K2. He didn't know what it was at that time because it hadn't been discovered yet. And he said, this is like the most important thing that I see out of these people's diets is if they can get this Activator X. I believe that's what he's called. It might have been something else X. But yeah, he found if you have this in your diet, this is one of the main reasons why these people are so healthy.
Wow.
So again, full fat dairy products, specifically butter, liver, which again, most people aren't going to eat, and then eggs, you get high levels of vitamin K2. So you can get vitamin K in like green leafy vegetables, but that's vitamin K1, and there's two different types of these vitamin Ks. If you're eating green leafy vegetables, you can get vitamin K in your diet, but vitamin K2 is unnecessary also, and a lot of people aren't getting it, especially if you're avoiding eggs, because mm-hmm. you're probably not eating too much of those other products.
Right.
Yeah.
So should people shoot for eating eggs and or dairy or liver like a couple times a week? Is that a good?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's always good to kind of rotate all of these foods, right? Yeah. You don't have to eat liver every day. That's probably the most common question I get when people hear me talk about liver is, well, how many times do I have to eat it? Mm-hmm. Which I get it. A couple times a week, getting a serving of liver is fine. Eggs, you can definitely eat more than that. You just still want to be careful about eggs because so many people have some level of leaky gut. So when you have leaky gut, you're susceptible to proteins getting outside of your gut and into your bloodstream and developing some sort of sensitivity or allergy to it. So you should be careful with eggs. But yeah, I mean, I've definitely had times in my life where I'm eating 4 or 5 eggs in the morning, and I do that every day.
Yep.
And I haven't developed the problem. So.
So how would someone know if they are sensitive to eggs and they shouldn't be having those in their diet?
Yep. So any symptom, really, you can trace back to something that you're probably eating, right? This could be brain fog. It could be I'm not sleeping well. It could be restless leg type stuff. It could, of course, be gut issues if you have constipation, diarrhea, those type of things, stomach cramps. Skin thing with eggs is probably the most common, though.
Yep.
So especially with children, even with moms who are nursing, I've had to do that a few times where I've had to have moms stop eggs, and it clears up stuff with the children. Those are kind of the more common ones. So you're eating it. So if you have some sort of an issue, like some type of raw or rash pops up, you're like, the first thing you should think, oh, what have I been eating for the past couple days?
Mm-hmm.
And then you think, oh, I've eaten a lot of eggs, or I've eaten a lot of grains, I've eaten a lot of dairy, whatever it may be. Cut that out, see if the rash goes away, or if it at least minimizes, because a lot of times it could be a combination of all of that stuff, because it's just inflammation in your gut turns into inflammation in your skin, and if you haven't been able to get inflammation down, then the rash isn't going to go away. Now, sometimes you can bring that inflammation down, but there's still just low levels of inflammation. So then any food that you're eating that is inflammatory is going to pop it back up. So you could be like, well,
I did avoid eggs. It went down a little bit, but then I keep avoiding eggs and it came back. Well, it doesn't mean you should go back to eating eggs. It just means that now there's other things that are inflammatory and going to be problematic for you. So, yeah, that's probably what I would say to how you know if eggs are a problem.
Just kind of test it out and see.
But pray they're not. Pray they're not, because it stinks. I think it's the worst one that I mean, I don't like telling people they can't eat stuff anyway, but it's easier to tell people you should be gluten-free or let's avoid dairy for a while. But the eggs thing, it stinks.
It's a bummer, sure.
Yep. So some other things here is it's a complete protein. So what that means is there's a number of what are called essential amino acids, meaning that we have to eat them in our diet because our body can't make them on its own. So if you have all of those essential amino acids, it's called a complete protein, and eggs are that. So you don't have to. So this is the whole beans and rice thing. So if you have beans have a certain level of amino acids, rice have a certain level of amino acids, so you put them together and it becomes a complete protein. You don't have to do that with eggs. They have
they're already complete.
It's already complete. About 6-7 grams of protein you're getting with one egg. So pretty easy. If you're eating 2-3 eggs, getting a high level of protein for that particular meal. Something called carotenoids. So this is typically what makes things orangish or yellowish in color. So of course the eggs are the yolk in the eggs are what happens here. So some carotenoids would be retinol, that's like the vitamin A, xanthan or zeaxanthin, lutein, these are all important carotenoids, and specifically healthy skin, brain, hormones, vision. Those are the big things that are helpful there. Something about K2 that I'll mention is so we all know vitamin D is important for a number of different things, but one of the main things that at least medical professionals tell you to take vitamin D for is bone health. It can be that, but what happens is along with vitamin D, they tell you to take calcium, right? If we're eating things with calcium in it, or if we're taking supplements, calcium supplements, that calcium doesn't just naturally go to where it's supposed to go, and like your bones and your teeth. It has to have vitamin K and vitamin D. You have to have that available to be able to grab a hold of that calcium and take it to where it needs to go. So that's why one of the reasons why vitamin K2 is so important, because calcium can end up in your kidneys, which would be called kidney stones. It can end up, of course, in your arteries, where your arteries, your cardiovascular system is calcified. It can end up in a number of different places that you don't want it. So you can't just take calcium and think that you're doing something good. You have to have these other nutrients available to allow calcium to do what it's supposed to do. Back to that nutrient synergy thing that we keep talking about. And vitamin K2 is extremely important for that, but also not very common in people's diets. So if you can eat eggs, that's a huge reason to be eating eggs. I think probably one of the last things that I would say, there's a difference between egg yolks and your egg white. The sensitivity or allergy stuff typically happens from the egg white. So I don't know if people do it. Probably bodybuilders still do it, where they just want to get high protein, kind of low fat diets. They just eat a bunch of egg whites.
Yeah.
Don't do that unless you're a bodybuilder. Mm-hmm. Like if that's your goal, then fine. If you're just trying to be healthy, don't do that. Eat the whole egg. I would actually tell you to probably eat just the yolk as opposed to eating the whites if you're going to minimize something. But one of the things that it does, so eggs have biotin in it, which is a vitamin, but if you're eating just the whites, they have a biotin, what's called a biotin inhibitor in it. So it could actually decrease your levels of biotin and become problematic. And another way of doing that is if you're doing a bunch of raw eggs, you can start to decrease your biotin levels and become problematic. We had a friend that did that. He was following, what's the bulletproof guy's name? Dave Asprey. Dave Asprey makes this ice cream with a bunch of raw eggs. Mm-hmm. And I think probably coconut cream or something like that. Mm-hmm. But he was putting in his ice cream maker and just doing a ton of it. And because he was doing all those raw eggs, started to have some biotin deficiencies and
cause
some problems. So, I would not do that. Maybe some other things. There is a difference. I know a lot of people have this question. There is a difference than just your, going to the gas station and getting 99-cent dozen egg versus, unfortunately, $6-7 eggs that you would get at the store. Huge difference in just nutrient density. But also it's just kind of gross what they do with chickens.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Just the mass production. Yeah. It's just, yeah.
Mass production, they have, you know, super small cages that these chickens are in, and they don't let the chicken move. You know, they don't let the chicken get sunlight. They don't let the chicken eat what they're supposed to eat, just going around kind of foraging and eating bugs and worms and foliage. They're feeding them grains. A lot of times those grains that their chicken feed that they have, because they aren't letting those other things happen, these chickens get very sick. They're also in a cage with probably six other chickens, so they're pooping all
they're
over
like
each other.
They're like on top of each other.
Urinating all over each other. And so these chickens are sick. So they have to put antibiotics in the feed. They have to, you know, try to keep these chickens alive before they get to slaughter so that they can not lose a bunch of money. So it's just, it's disgusting what they do.
Yeah.
And the simple principle is, if it's a sick chicken, it's not going to produce a healthy food, right? So you could just, you can look at all of the nutritional facts about an egg and think, if you're just looking at it on paper, you should be like, well, there should be no difference. But if it came from a sick chicken, there's that doesn't get figured into those nutritional facts.
Yeah, you know? And then if what they're eating is like GMO corn and soy, which is pretty much what it is, that's getting somehow into
more problems. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. But here's just some nutritional stuff. So they found in one study here, eggs from hens that are pastured versus standard factory farm eggs are 7 times more beta carotene in the eggs that are pastured. They're, oh man. So there's, got to get this number right, 791.86 IUs of vitamin A, and there's below 500 IUs from a standard factory egg. There's 3 times more vitamin E, so 3.73 milligrams versus less than 1 milligram. And there's 2 times more omega-3 fatty acids in pasture-raised eggs. So there's also a difference, and you see the whole free-range and cage-free stuff. That doesn't really mean anything. That means that they take them out of those small cages so they can actually be in a bigger space, but they're still with all these other chickens and all that other stuff that we talked about. They still don't get sunlight. They still don't get a ton of movement. They're still all over each other. They're still fighting each other because they're so close. They can't spread their wings. There's just a bunch of stuff. And all of that, and this is with every other conventional animal, all of that, because it's not the natural way an animal's supposed to live, it produces stress hormones in the body. So we've talked about cortisol a ton, you know, norepinephrine, epinephrine, so what we know of it here, adrenaline, noradrenaline. These are all stress hormones that are produced just like us when we're under stress. Animals do the same thing. And they, when you have those stress hormones, it gets passed on into the eggs, get passed on into the meat, gets passed on into the dairy products, and just becomes, it's a toxin for our bodies. So you have to figure all that into it as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
So organic pasture raised.
And the easiest way to do that is to find a farmer.
Yes.
Or not even a farmer. Like there's people, there's plenty. Like we have a bunch of friends who just have chickens and and do it.
I feel like that's
right
more
way.
Common than it used to be these days. So yeah.
Right. Yep. I mean, there are some things you still want to look at. Like just because they have their own chickens doesn't mean that they're feeding them the right way.
Yes.
Of course you want, you know, bright, the oranger the yolk, the healthier it is. The shell should be actually somewhat difficult to break. If it just breaks right away, then, you know, they're not getting all the nutrients that they need. They should be out roaming. They should be getting sunlight. They should be able to spread their wings, all that stuff. And they're not right on top of each other where they're fighting each other and all that type of stuff and building a bunch of stress hormones.
Right. Yep. And even I know that when you see eggs for like 99 cents versus the $6 or $7 eggs, it feels like hard to want to spend the $6 or $7, but if you really think about it, $6 or $7 for that much like nutrition, protein, like it's compared to meat or something, it's like really still quite cheap.
Well, people buy vitamins like crazy. It to vitamins, like
that's
little
a good
pill
point.
Could be 50 cents to a dollar, right?
Yes.
It might cost you $30 for 30 capsules or whatever in a supplement. So yeah, $5-6 for one egg. Think of it like a daily vitamin that you're getting.
Yes.
It's actually a multivitamin because
it
has a ton and protein.
Right. So yeah, I really think like I Clearly, I've had to press back on my husband on the budget on this, but I'm like, it's really not that expensive. Like, even
Well, again, you have to get the out of, I'm comparing this egg to this egg, out of your head. If you're comparing, well, actually, I'm comparing this healthy egg to something like a vitamin or healthy, like you said, other animal products, dairy or meat. That's a lot easier to spend that.
Yes.
To spend that money.
Right. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Think of the 99 cent egg as actually harmful to you, harmful to the environment, harmful to the chickens. There's a bunch of different stuff that goes into that. So don't see it as just a cheap way of, or a way of saving money.
Right.
In the long run, you're probably not anyway saving money.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, find your farmer who can give you your raw dairy, your eggs, and your organic grass-fed meat, and stop spending your money at the grocery stores.
Right.
And
yeah, don't go to Quickstar and stuff to buy your food, probably. I mean, thankful for Quickstar. They have a ton of stuff, and we can get gas there. But I wouldn't go grocery shopping there.
If you're in a real bind, you're on a road trip or something, and you need a hard-boiled egg from the gas station, that's probably a good,
Again, back to if eggs were just totally neutral, they would be better than other things because it keeps you away from, like if you have to get something at Quickstar, I don't know why. Quickstar is right across the street here, so that's probably why it's in my head. But instead of grabbing the donut, right, grab a hard-boiled egg, absolutely.
Yes.
But if you have the opportunity to get good quality eggs compared to Quickstar hard-boiled eggs, then do that, right?
Yeah.
Make your own hard-boiled eggs.
Perfect. Well, if you guys have any questions about eggs or other foods that we've covered or that you want us to cover, definitely let us know. We hope that this was helpful for you, and we hope that you are one of the people who can eat eggs and doesn't have to avoid them. But if you do, hopefully it's only for a short time, right? That's the ultimate goal, is get your body healed, get your leaky gut fixed, and then be able to incorporate all the real foods again.
Yep.
So with that, we will talk to you next time. Thank you.